Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. Jamie Rivers, Brad Thompson. We're going to be joined by Dan McLaughlin here in a second. You always hear Danny Mac, Scoops with Danny Mac, weekdays here on 101 ESPN. A little bit of news, Cardinals related. They signed somebody. BT, they signed somebody.
Don't do that to people.
People are going
to
be jacked up.
Just you,
fan
you
favorite.
What? That
you know
is
not fair.
Favorite.
You know what he's doing, BT.
Of the Cardinals. Harrison Bader avoided arbitration by agreeing to a one-year, $2 million contract. And Alex Reyes avoided arbitration by agreeing to a one-year, $900,000 contract.
Good. Get to work, boys. Now, that does leave two guys, and I don't know, maybe we hear word that they rolled out a little bit later after the numbers come in, but I know Derek Gould has been all over this and hasn't updated a couple of names in Jack Flaherty and Jordan Hicks, both arbitration eligible, and as many remember, Gant signed a long time ago. He signed for $2.1 million. In his second year of arbitration. So a couple of guys we still don't know what their contracts look like. But either way, it doesn't really matter. We all knew these guys were going to be members of the Cardinals. Just a couple of them out of the way. Lots of guys around baseball, a lot of players that have filed for arbitration. There are a lot of teams out there that are doing what the Cardinals have done here in recent years of it's file and trial, right? If we have to file our numbers in, we are going to go to the arbitration trial. They went the longest time. I think it was 1999 until 2017 where they didn't have an arbitration trial. And then they went with Michael Walker where they beat him. So we'll see how it works here with these couple of guys. We head to the Brown and Crouppen Celebrity Line. We bring in our guy, Danny Mac. Dan, what's happening, my man? How we doing?
BT, how are you, buddy?
Doing well, doing well. Trying to follow along with all of these arbitration numbers that have been going in. I know your guy Derek Gould at the Post-Dispatch has been all over it. A couple that we know for sure. We knew that Gant got his done a while ago at $2.1 million, I believe it was. Harrison Bader, they've come to an agreement on a $2 million deal. And Alex Reyes on a deal for $900,000, noticeably missing when it comes to contracts being done. Jack Flaherty and Jordan Hicks. Are you hearing anything on that front? Could something trickle out, or is this a file and trial thing?
I haven't heard anything. Wouldn't you know, I was kind of reading the tea leaves on this, and I have not heard this from anybody on the inside, so this is just me kind of reading it. I got to wonder if they're looking at trying to do something with Hicks. I do wonder that. I think Flaherty's a different case. He's been very vocal about the situation and how guys are paid, especially younger players. You know that very well, Brad. You know, guys that put up big numbers, but yet the system is what it is, and teams can say, well, year in, year, whatever, and you're not at free agency, and oh, by the way, you haven't hit arb yet, so we can pay you this. That's just the system. And it's frustrating, I'm sure, for young players that put up big numbers. I mean, Juan Soto last year, I think, made the league minimum. So you get the idea. There are certain guys where there's a balance and there's just a disconnect there. Where certain guys are putting up big numbers, not making maybe some of the money that they should. It wouldn't shock me, though, if you got something done with Hicks. We'll have to wait and see, but I'm sure we're going to know by the end of the day exactly where those two lie.
All right, Daniel, yesterday...
How you doing, Jamie? I really miss seeing you in the mornings, buddy.
I miss you, too. I always miss your beautiful smile in the morning, Dan. And
yeah,
how
I mean, you're just a ray of sunshine.
How warm you are when we come in the studio. It's great.
Absolutely.
I miss you, buddy. Now, that being said... The Cardinals fans are probably going to miss Yadier Molina if he doesn't return. And the biggest news to come out of that in the last couple of days is that Yadi has told Polo that, well, if God says that he's going to come back, then he will. If he says he won't, then he's happy to retire. We banged it around yesterday. But the question I have for you is, do you really think Yadi would be willing to retire?
No.
All right. Okay, come up next here on 101. Well, one of the reasons you say that, because I was like, look, this guy's a 162-game guy. He doesn't want to ever give up the plate, and now he's sitting here saying, well, I'll retire. For me, the non-baseball expert, I'm like, okay, this is a negotiation tactic.
Oh, I'm just giving you trouble. I don't think he's going to retire. I look at it this way. I think we're going to hear more and more now that we, in the big picture of the industry, now that we have a date for spring training and players are going there and organizations are telling their players, hey, if you want to go find housing, go do it. We're up and running. You know, we're starting on the 16th, the 17th for certain camps. teams need to fill their rosters. They got to make decisions. So these decisions are going to be made a lot more sooner, I think, rather than later. Now, you're going to have some guys trickle in later to camps because it's getting done so late. But when you talk about the big-name guys, and Yachty's obviously one of the big-name guys, I think it's going to happen a little bit sooner rather than later. Now, I'm sure a lot of it depends on Real Muto. I would imagine that he wants to get more than James McCann, who's roughly around $10-11 million a year. But it's going to be tough to do that. And so I think at some point you're going to have a decision to be made on both sides. I think all signs we've talked about a lot point to St. Louis, and I think it'll wind up being that if he comes back and plays, it'll be in a Cardinal uniform. That's just my personal opinion.
I'm with you. Look, I think that most people kind of understand the holdup here, whether it's on the second year, as you mentioned, JT Realmuto. They need a landing spot there. I believe the Angels did land a catcher in signing Kurt Suzuki, so maybe that takes another place off the map where Yachty might end up landing. What do you think is the sticking point right now on Adam Wainwright? Like, where do you think that is at? And it's sheer speculation at this point, but I still look at the Cardinals with all the arms that they have, and they have some good ones. I still wouldn't mind putting that salty veteran right in that rotation. We saw how good he was last year and the year before.
Brad, he told me that he went to Mike Maddux in the series against the Nationals, and the team was not playing well, and he said, just leave me in there. And if I'm getting killed, leave me in there. Don't push these other arms. And his point was, and I'm getting to the point I'm about to make, is that, look, I've made my money, my career's been great, and if I blow out on the next pitch, I can walk off with my head held up really high, know I gave it all, and my body gave out. Where this is a business, as you well know, and there are some young pitchers that are with the Cardinals, and a lot of them, to where I think industry-wide, we're going to see, especially early in season, a lot of franchises be awfully careful with their pitching. I don't think we're going to see starters go nearly as deep. Now, that's the trend that we've seen anyway in the game, and the analytics have taken us that way. We saw that with the Tampa Bay Rays analytically. But I just think that we're going to see that an awful lot. So if you know that and you've got a guy like Adam Wainwright and you decide to say, hey, we're bringing him back, he's in a rotation, and we know that even with a 17-day shutdown, which they had, and with a situation where he's a guy that we throw a nice base in with some incentives to get a really good salary, but we can count on him every fifth day to go out there and give us the 6 to 7 innings. There's something to that. The value in piling up innings with individuals is going to be at a premium this year, more so than other years. And I wonder if that's something that teams are thinking about when they think about Adam Wainwright.
By the way, we started off the conversation with Dan today. Talking.
Hi, Anthony.
Hey, Dan, how are you?
Great to hear your voice, too.
You know, Jamie says he misses you. I really
yes,
mean
sir.
It. I really mean it when I say
I just don't
it.
See oh, wow. you in early prepping a lot.
I know.
I don't see any of you guys. But that's, yeah. hey, that's neither here nor there.
I was on your show today.
Oh, yeah, that's right, you were.
I was on the radio at 6 a.m., Dan.
Oh, yeah, my bad. Sorry, BT.
Dan.
Sorry.
We started off the conversation talking about arbitration. The Cardinals have just avoided arbitration with Jordan Hicks as well. No money figures released yet, but they avoided arbitration with him. Since we're talking about possible former Cardinals, let's discuss Colton Wong now, Dan. DJ LeMahieu has resigned with the Yankees. He's going to get a buttload of money to stay right there in New York. What do you think this means now for Colton Wong?
Well, let's take a step back. You know, when the Cardinals made this move, they didn't have a ton of flexibility to all of a sudden say goodbye to a lot of money. That was an easy way to say goodbye to $11 million and why they did it. Now that DJ LeMahieu is off the table, it opens up the door for Wong. Kind of like, in my opinion, the same thing with Realmuto. Once he's off the board, then you find other teams saying, hey, here's plan B, here's plan C. You know, I would look at the Toronto Blue Jays as being a team that would want him. I think there's other teams that if you're missing that piece defensively up the middle, and there's a handful out there, and I can go through them ad nauseum and bore everybody, but there are teams out there that want that. Would the Cardinals invite the idea of him coming back? I don't think they ever shut the door on that because both are classy in how they do business. They're just not going to say that. Wong's not going to come out and disparage or trash the organization, nor are the Cardinals going to do that with the individual that they drafted and developed and saw him get to the major leagues. So now that that big chip is off the board, it'll be interesting to see where he goes. It's fascinating, in my opinion, what he'll sign for. because if you look at LeMahieu, he got $90 million over 6 years, so it's an average of $15 million. That's actually below the qualifying offers. So what it may be telling you is that guys are looking for security and a lump sum of money and not worried about being the highest paid guy at their position. They're just saying, hey, get me to the $90 million. I don't care how it's done, but get me there. And I'll be really curious to see what happens with Wong and what teams value him at and what that money would look like in the open market.
Dan, I know you're going to be crazy busy this weekend. It's winter warm-up time. It's virtual this year, so everything's a little bit different, but it's going to be awesome. What's your first order of business? Is it 2011 World Series? Is that tonight?
That's the live virtual experience, and I'm going to grab my paper here. That's at 6 o'clock. I've got Growing Up Prospects with Nolan Gorman, Matthew Liberatore tomorrow. I'm going to go down to Matt Carpenter's ranch. I'll be in the bullpen with a bunch of the bullpen guys, and I'll do a panel on broadcasting where I get to not host it but be on the panel and tell everybody not what to do. So I'm looking forward to that. And I mean this sincerely. I played a couple of bites this morning on my show. There are free portions of the Cardinals' virtual winter warm-up, and some of those include John Mozeliak, Michael Gersh, Randy Flores, Bill DeWitt III, the Cardinals' president, Gary LaRocque, who is the player development guy that is an unheralded, really important piece of the organization. Those are free. We did those sit-downs already at the ballpark in the last probably 48 hours. There is a lot of info in there about tons of stuff. I mean, we cover everything from Yachty, Waino, free agency, when they report, how they report, how many players are going to report. I'll give you a little bit. I mean, Mo was talking about having 60 to 80 guys, players, at spring training to open up camp, which is something I think would be of interest for people and surprise maybe some people when you talk about trying to mitigate the numbers. With Bill DeWitt III, a lot of it was about how are we going to get fans in the stands? And how is that going to work once we do have fans in the stands? Will you have to be vaccinated? Will you not? Do you have to show a COVID test? All those questions are answered in this. So if you're a Cardinal fan, I do think there's some newsworthy items in there to take a look at and sit down and watch, and I think you'll enjoy with kind of a state of the union of the organization.
Dan, looking forward to it. Should be a great weekend, should be a great couple of days, and I know you and BT are going to do a great job, as always, when it comes to hosting some off-season Cardinals activities. We appreciate it, man. Have a good weekend.
Okay, guys, have a great weekend.
All right, Dan McLaughlin here in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN, where we've got What's Trending next.